You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Gastroenteritis Blues. My name is Steve Lippman. I'm with Emily Anderson and Dan Volpone. First question is to Dan. Dan, what kind of dancer are you?
Oh, I'm the kind of dancer where the whole room needs to be dancing and I have to have had a lot of drinks and sure. I'm going to be barely moving because I am a horrible dancer and have no idea how to dance.
Okay, I think we're pretty similar then. Emily, I guess... fair question to go to you. What kind of dancer are you?
I also normally takes me a couple drinks to dance, but I do move. I'm the kind of dancer that like will create moves to like the words of the songs. Like I like to act out the songs as I dance.
Interesting. Sure.
I'm one of those. Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Okay. Here's a question. In your upcoming wedding, do you have a coordinated dance planned, like these videos you've seen? And you might not be able to comment, which is totally fine, but you've seen these videos of people and other people coordinating dances. What is your comment on that?
We do not have a coordinated dance, but like there are certain songs. I mean, we've been together for 5.5 years, so we've been to plenty of weddings. There are certain songs that like play at every wedding that over time we've developed like a semi-coordinated dance too, just like organically. So we will be sure to play those songs at our wedding so we can do our semi-organic coordinated dance, but it's not like choreographed, if that makes sense.
Got it. Okay, well, we'll look forward to that. Dan and I are gonna podcast from outside of the wedding venue on the big day. On to the Sixers. On today's episode, we have Tyler Tynes from The Ringer, who's a Philadelphia guy and he does great work and we're excited to talk to him. Before he comes on, we can catch up about the week of Sixers. The Sixers won a brutal game against Toronto, which was felt like a loss. Then they beat Dallas pretty easily in a nice game. And then, because we were podcasting today, they lost a shitty game last night to Cleveland. So, Emily, can you please update the rankings in terms of who has been right and wrong in their predictions?
Look at his grin on his face right now. Dan went 3-0 this weekend. He just has this like grin, like, you know, whatever. So me and Steve both went 2-1 because we had them sweeping the week and Dan went 3-0. So Dan is 20-14. I am 22-12 and Steve is 17-17.
Ooh. Listen, it's a long season. I know you guys feel really good now, but it's a long season, and I might start doing well sometime soon.
These can three I make games, a comment about no, last you. Night's
these
game
three
quickly?
Games? Yeah, go ahead. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was so mad. So I think I'm the only one of us that like can watch the game on NBC Sports, like cable.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So it was like maybe 2 minutes left, maybe 2:30. The Sixers are up by 2 in regulation. And then, you know, they do the cuts of the studio. And Amy Fadul is like, well, this is a tight one, but the Sixers look like they're going to pull it out. Why would you say that? They're up by 2. Don't say that. And I'm blaming her for the loss, personally.
Fadul jinxed it. Wow. I didn't know
I think
that.
She did. I was like,
what? I missed I missed the last 50 seconds of regulation last night, if that makes you feel any better, because Buff Streams let me down. Because
I love a Buff Stream. I have to tell you, love a Buff Stream.
Because the Cavs are supposed to be in market in Pittsburgh, but it's like Fox Sports Ohio or something, and you have to have DirecTV and like a special package to get that in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. But they're technically in market. So it's the only game I can't get on League Pass is when we play the Cavs. So I had to resort to a stream. And it let me down in the last minute. And I had to call my dad. I didn't know what happened. It was a whole thing.
Do you have the full League Pass or do you have Team Pass?
No, I had the full League Pass before. And it's just really expensive. And I'll watch the other games, but I'll get by just watching the Sixers games.
So you got the Team Pass.
Yeah, I have the team pass. And then, if I want to watch another team, I'll watch on whatever game gets nationally televised. I don't need
That's how I feel. All right. Joel had a rough few games there. He had two games against Toronto. We talked about the first one last week. But it really looks like Toronto is sort of in his kitchen and knows ways to frustrate him. They were able to win that second game. He had a tough time. They played Dallas after that, and he didn't shoot well from the field. I honestly just thought he was missing some shots. They didn't do anything particular. I think he still got decent numbers, but neither he nor Simmons had to play at all in the fourth quarter of that game. And then, of course, last night against Cleveland, he had a big night. He had 42 and 13 and 6 assists and 2 blocks, but they lost. So what did you think about the week in particular from Joel, Dan?
It wasn't his best week, but yeah, I agree. Like in Dallas, it looked like he was getting his shots. He was missing them. Like that's not going to last. He's too good of a shooter. He might not keep the percentage he was at from the mid range, but he's clearly just like a really good shooter. And he'll hit his shots. I think, he shot better from the field, on Saturday night. He was 13 of 22 and mm-hmm. he was 2 of 3 from three, including a couple at the end. So, I think that it wasn't his best week, but it wasn't a bad week at all. It's funny, in his bad games, he puts up such good numbers and I'm not worried about him at all.
Yeah, I'm with you. Emily, anything in particular on Joel that you wanted to talk about this week?
He's just so good. The game, they lost last night, but I couldn't help thinking, watching him play that he shot well last night. Everything that he shoots looks like it just goes in. Like all these stupid shots he takes, they go in. And I'm like, I tweeted this, but if you don't think that he's the MVP or at least top two, I just don't think you're watching him play. I guess he didn't will them to a win, but at the end there, those threes were late in the game. I really felt like he was we need these, I'm going to make them. And he did. I feel like he has a superpower to will things to go into the basket to help his team. Him and Ben were the only people who helped the team last night, and they still almost won with basically two players.
He's unbelievable.
He's just a freak, and I love him.
I don't know if his 43 on Saturday night put him back above 30 points per game. I know it's a counting step, but aesthetically, I really like seeing the even 30 there for him, so I hope that did it. Then Ben Simmons.
He's right
Ben Simmons,
at 30, exactly 30.
He's at 30, yeah.
Ben Simmons continued his aggressive and good play this week. And I feel like it might be a larger conversation about Ben, but over the last maybe month or month and a half, he's really improved and looked very aggressive going at the rim. He's making more of his free throws. His defense has stayed as great as it is. What a showcase against Luka, who straight up did not want Simmons on him whatsoever, because the second Ben wasn't on him, he would shoot and make everything when Danny Green or Tobias was on him. So the thing about Simmons, Dan and I in particular were especially critical of him early in the year, but I don't think that his play now makes that retroactively wrong. I think that at the time, he was not playing well. People say maybe it was coming off the injury, maybe it was all the Harden stuff, whatever it was, he was not playing well. He just wasn't. And it was so disappointing because it looked like the exact same guy from last year. He improved nothing.
He had some good stretches last year. I think he looked much worse.
I'm thrilled to see what he's doing now. I think that this is like a leap for Ben if he's not going to shoot. And it's clear that he made a three last night, which is kind of funny. But I think that if he's going to stay the player that he is, the way that he has improved his aggressiveness and finishing and all of that stuff is very exciting. So I'm very happy to see how well he's played lately. Emily, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. He's been so good. And his defense, I don't think I've always like said, like, yeah, he's a good defender, just like, but I think his defense has taken a leap this year too. He just like locks down these like all-star shooters. And I don't know that there's anyone else in the league that can lock down like perimeter players like Ben can.
It looks like Kawhi has taken a bit of a step back, at least in the regular season with his defense. So I don't think there's anybody that's on with Ben's size and his speed. I think he's just like an incredibly difficult guy to score on. And Luka is so crafty and he just really couldn't do anything with Ben. Dan, what do you think about the rest of this stuff, this Simmons stuff?
Yeah, I mean, Ben is probably the most talented defender in the league. And like he's especially useful like against a team like the Mavericks. Like Jackson Frank pointed this out, like if you have one guy that you rely on for scoring, like you're basically screwed against the Sixers because mm-hmm. Ben can guard that one guy. Obviously, you know, once you get towards teams that have multiple perimeter players, you can only, like, it's not Ben's fault. It's just like he can only guard one guy. And I think those teams would tend to give the Sixers a harder time. But for the Sixers, like, are going to have a great chance against any team that relies on one guy for scoring. He's definitely he's playing the best I've ever seen him play right now because he's been more aggressive than I've ever seen him. And by aggressive, I just mean like physical on offense, like realizing he's huge, like 6'10", really strong, really fast, just going through guys. Like I don't want to say like Giannis because Giannis is one of the most physical players in the league, but I've always watched Giannis and been like, well, I can't Ben like take a little bit of this and just like, right. Just go through the guy in front of you because you're also so strong. Like he's not as big and strong, but he's still extremely large for a ball handler. And he's doing it now. And it's really awesome to see. He's so much more fun of a player, I think, when he's doing it, because it's like frustrating to watch someone that big go around people all the time. Like they're not, or just like, don't even look at the rim and pass out of it when someone's in front of you. Like,
right.
You're big, you're strong, go to, and he's doing it. He looks great. Like, yeah, I hope he can keep it up. Like, I know it's hard to like, you know, break old habits and form new ones for, you know, like a long period of time. Like Tobias is kind of passing up some threes again. He's making a little slower decisions again. I hope mm-hmm. that doesn't happen to Ben because this is the best I've ever seen Ben.
Speaking of Tobias, they definitely missed him last night, on Saturday night. Tobias is a guy who can definitely get his own shot. And even if they're not 100% of the shots that we always want him to take, I feel like at the ends of games, Tobias in the mid-range is a really good option for the Sixers. And I think they missed him. A couple quick things. For Dan especially, there's a thing about Tobias and telling Doc that he likes his left hand, and he didn't tell Brett. And then there's also a Ramona tweet about Dennis Schroeder. Whichever you like first, go ahead, buddy.
Well, I just can't believe the Tobias thing. Like that seems – Tobias played here for – what was it? He played here a full season and a half under Brett?
Right.
And at no point he said, hey, Brett, I like to do this. And at no point Brett realized he wasn't comfortable with it. I think it's more on Tobias, but either way, why are they not talking to each other like this? What are they talking about?
Apparently, after one of the games where Tobias played well, Tobias told reporters, I told Doc I like to finish with my left hand. And they were like, oh, cool. Did you tell Brett? And he was like, no, it didn't really come up. It's like, okay, when would it come up if not at basketball practice? But anyway, I'm happy that
how is that not just like that should just be the topic? Like it's understood that this is always relevant. Like what you're right. doing in basketball when you're getting paid all this money to play basketball is important.
Right. Maybe he was gonna say it, but it was somebody's like PowerPoint presentation day and he didn't want to butt in with like a boring basketball thing for Concord Classes.
Good. He should have done his presentation on like why I like to finish with my left hand. Bye, so bye, Paris.
He should.
And the Ramona Shelbourne thing, it's more of the ESPN lamestream media pushing their LeBron James for MVP propaganda. What exactly did the tweet say?
It was just a new low. Let me find it. It was not a new low. This is not just about her, but this is about everyone, almost everyone at ESPN. And I think this was a good indicator of where they're at and you know how desperately they're trying to give LeBron this award over at ESPN. Mm-hmm. So Stat Muse, the people who just tweet out random stats.
Right.
The Lakers are 1-3 since Anthony Davis's injury. 1-4 if you include the game when he got hurt in the second quarter. This was 5 days ago. So they've lost a couple more games since then. And then they have a little like cartoon graphic of Anthony Davis.
I like those graphics though.
I think they're cute.
I think they're real cute.
They are cute.
And Ramona replies, Ramona, who has a platform at ESPN, is like an extremely respected reporter at the biggest sports station in the United States, replies to the Stat Muse tweet and says, also coincides with Dennis Schroeder being out. He's one of the energy guys and they clearly are lacking it now. And it's like, did Ramona Shelburne from ESPN just well actually Stat Muse about like the Lakers like third or fourth best player also being out? Like, what are we talking about?
It's wild. It's wild. And it reminds me of when Kevin Durant tweeted not using his burner account, but using his real account. It makes me think that like she's got another account that she likes to attack this from, because it was just a direct reply. She didn't quote tweet it. I don't know. The propaganda.
Do you
machine.
Read the replies of Stat Muse a lot, Dan?
It's a great question.
No, so I woke up and Steve had sent this to me, actually.
Oh, maybe I did. Great.
Just horrible. Just horrible. This is what Joel's up against this year.
It really is. Kyle Lowry, actual friend of the podcast, Keith Pompey, had a story earlier this week that in which he basically said that Kyle Lowry would like to play at home in Philadelphia, and that like the Sixers and Heat and Clippers are like the sort of potential destinations for him should Toronto want to move off him. His agent later in the day refuted that, which is so either telling or what else is the agent going to say? Kind of like, who knows how much stock you put into it. I'd like to hear what you guys think about Kyle Lowry potentially on the Sixers with the price it would be to get him. And his skill set. Emily, what do you think about Kyle Lowry?
I would like to have Kyle Lowry. That would be fun.
Yeah.
But I'm really bad, like, what is the price of to get Kyle Lowry? Because I frequently refuse to give up anything for people. I like to hold on to what we have, and I get very attached to people easily. So I'm not like gonna be like, oh, you can have this guy. I would give up Danny Green. He can go. I would probably give up Seth Curry too. He's been sucking lately, but like, I'm not giving up any of my other friends. So, and I don't think that's going to get us Kyle Lowry.
Well, you might be right. Dan, what do you think about Lowry in Philly?
Yeah, I know you've written about it before. I love Lowry in Philly. I think that I believe in the Sixers as like contenders much more this year. If I still think that the Nets are the team to beat, but especially like, you know, injuries happen and stuff like that. You want to be in position to win. And I think that, you know, with the way Ben and Joel are playing, if we can get Kyle Lowry, I think that solves a lot of bench issues by having someone who can actually, you know, handle the ball competently playing without starters around him when they go to mostly bench units and Lowry's another guy who can carry some of those. I think that, you know, he would help a lot. I would love to have him here. I think that at that point, I would be much more comfortable saying, I believe in the Sixers this year as a team that can win. I think that it would probably take Maxey and a pick, maybe two picks. If Kyle Lowry's getting traded, he's going to it doesn't matter. His contract is going to be up because any team who thinks they can win is going to want him. He's really good.
Yeah, so the reason that I think Sixers fans would and have been hesitating on this is that Lowry is 34 going on 35 and an expiring contract. And I think in order to get him to Philly, you do have to give up at least one of the young guys. So it's that question. I think that Morey, the answer in his head is like, probably if he increases the percentage chance of this year's ring, it's probably worth it. So we'll see. He might not just be on the table ever because Toronto might not be bad enough, or he might not pressure it in a way that he definitely could if he wanted to. But I think that he would really fit great. And people talk about the hole that it would open up on the wing, like wing sort of depth. I wouldn't worry about that as much as I currently am worried about a guy who can create as a guard. A few more things before we welcome in Tyler Tynes. Hey, speaking of Tyler's, mazel tov to Tyler Monahan, who got a new job at MLB Network. We love Tyler.
Congrats,
here.
Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler.
Way to go, buddy. And he's a friend of the podcast and a friend of ours. Let's see. The Sixers' second half schedule got released. There's a tough stretch in there. That's about all I have to say about it. What do you guys think? Emily?
They play the Pelicans on my wedding day. That's all I know.
Oh, my God. So are you going to pause the wedding in order to watch the game?
Well, I think the wedding will be over by the time the game is being played. So, like, we could have, like, a small TV situation.
There you go.
I think the Flyers might all – no, maybe they don't play. Dory's a big Flyers guy, so we – on double sport nights, we got to, like, do the computer and the TV situation.
Do you take turns as to who gets the TV and who gets the computer?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah, we do. And, like, it's easy because, like, the period breaks in hockey are so long. Like, you can get a good stretch of basketball on the TV in those 20 minutes, as long as it doesn't coincide with halftime.
Good stuff. On your wedding night, would you like to cover the Liberty Ballers Twitter account? And
I would. That would be great. I'm not. I still can't get on, so it's fine.
Okay. Yeah. If you guys know the new app Locker Room, the kids these days love Clubhouse, and Locker Room, I've been told, is like Clubhouse. What you do is you get on there, and there are different rooms. You start different rooms, and you talk about sports. And as a fan or as a listener, you can either tap in, like type in a question, or we can put you on as if it's like talk radio, and you can ask a question or say a comment to us. And that's what, so SB Nation is partnering with Locker Room, and so are we. So we're going to start doing a bonus episode every week, which is us talking on Locker Room for about 45 minutes. And we welcome you guys to join us over there and ask questions and do whatever. So this week, we're going to do it either, I think, on Thursday or Saturday. We will let you know, there'll be a post on the site about it beforehand. But that's really what's going to happen. Prediction-wise, we go to this week. We've got Indiana, then Utah, and then the All-Star game. What I think we should do is predict the winners for Indiana and predict the winners for Utah, and then predict whether Joel or Ben's team wins the All-Star game. If they end up on the same team, it's sort of a wash. I give you.
You can't pick against them if they end up on the same team.
Right.
All right.
Is anyone from the Sixers doing like any of the other shenanigans?
Definitely. I don't think so. I don't think they announced any dunk contest doing that stuff. I didn't see. No. Not that I know of. It would be fun to see like Isaiah Joe in the skills competition. I think that.
I want Joel in the skills competition.
Right. He's done that. Did he just do it once? I feel like he's. I know he's done it at least once.
Has he?
Fun.
Yeah, he did it once. But Towns won that year. That was when they divided it between bigs and guards.
Right. I remember that.
Are they gonna send guys that aren't in the game for that? Like, add more people to the All-Star game, or is it just gonna be like people on the rosters?
Someone's doing the dunk contest who's not in the All-Star game. I forget who they said it was.
I forget too.
Okay.
Well,
sending more people down. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. They want to spread this as much as possible.
Okay. It's getting better, guys. It's getting better.
Dan, what do you got?
All right. I say we beat the Pacers. Last time I picked us to lose to the Jazz. Ben played great against the Jazz, actually, but I think they're a team that we're going to struggle against a bit. They have a lot of scores, and Ben can't cover all of them. They don't have like one guy who's, I mean, Mitchell's great, but then they have like, I mean, Clarkson killed us last time. Yeah. I'll take the Jazz in that one. So I'll go Pacers there. Then I'll take the Jazz. And if Ben's on the same team, of course, I'm taking that team. But if they're on different teams, I don't know what the teams look like, but I'll take Joel because just, you know, why not? I love him.
All right. Emily, what do you got?
Because I'm a ridiculous homer, I'm just going to say the Sixers are going to win them all again. I think that might be my new strategy. I'm just going to say they always win, and then my record will be their record.
It's not a bad strategy.
Like, it's not a
bad strategy than guessing random losses.
Yeah. And in terms, I just really want them to beat the Jazz because the Jazz are a good team, and everyone keeps tweeting like the Sixers are 1-5 against teams. Shut up, I don't care.
That's me. You're talking about me right now. That was me too.
Yeah. And shut up, I don't care. I like to play the trans property. So like the Sixers beat the Mavericks, the Nets lost to the Mavericks, therefore the Sixers are better than the Nets. That's how math works. Mm-hmm. And then the All-Star game. I'll just pick Joel too because they love him so much. I'm wearing my Joel Embiid All-Star t-shirt right now, actually.
Yo, that's awesome.
From last year or 2 years ago.
All right. Yeah. Tyler's here. First, I'm going to say the Sixers beat the Pacers and the Jazz. I think we're doing a Liberty Ballers watch party that Emily has to be at on Tuesday, so they must win. Okay. Wednesday, sure. And then I'm going to pick Ben's team to win if they're on different teams. Ben won it last year, and we'll see.
Proven winner, Ben Simmons.
Proven winner, Ben Simmons.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
We're very happy to welcome Tyler Tynes to the podcast. Tyler, how are you doing? Thank you for being here.
What's happening? Y'all look like a bunch of children.
Well, okay. Starting with an insult. It's good to see you. We're big fans of your work, and we're very happy to have you here. How have you been doing during this whole pandemic?
You know, about as good as anybody can do, man. You know, we in the house, and I don't got no problem being away from people. So, you know. It's a shame we done lost 500,000, but you know, for the folks that's still here, I'm cool. You know, I can't complain.
Good. Well, we're really happy to have you. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
Well, we just want to start off, you know, got to ask, you know, you're a Philly guy. So growing up, who are some of your favorite athletes, specifically Philly athletes?
You mean like that played in the city or folks that came from here?
Yeah. Well, actually either. I'm fine with either. I like both of those.
You know, man, any of those John Chaney Temple teams, you know, Eddie and Aaron McKee and guys like that. Obviously, Bubba Chuck Iverson, you know what I mean? Growing up in North, you know, you would just see him driving around. You know, it was one time, I think I was 9 years old, me and my mom were coming out the Pathmark late at night, and it was this white Rolls Royce comes through the Pathmark to John near City Line Avenue. And I'm like, who in the white Rolls Royce? You know, it's like a regular summer day, everything like that. And they were tinted windows, rolled down the window, man in a do-rag, wife beater, all white mink fur. You know what I mean? Just keep your head up, shorty. Rise out. That's how I know. So it's definitely Iverson. I mean, there's nobody bigger. Jimmy Rollins is amazing. Wayne Simmons. Yeah. I mean, I even got love for Donovan McNabb. You know, it's a shame, but I do. And of course, the Vic years. So.
So we want to talk about some of your work at The Ringer, but first, how did you end up there?
You know, I'm 27, and so I was at a regular newspaper when I left college, went to SB Nation, and I was over there for a few years, and, you know, I've been at The Ringer since 2019. It's the end of 2019, so.
I went to Temple. And John Chaney is like a mythical figure there. And I wanted to ask you about the piece that you wrote on The Ringer about John Chaney. It was incredibly thorough and moving. And I wanted to know, what did he mean to you growing up? And then what was it like for you to get to interview him?
You know, ain't nothing in the world like growing up in John Chaney's North Philadelphia, man. You know, it's just one of those things where you gotta, you know, it's an icon living. You know, these teams are modeled in the same identity of the city, and they look like, you know, my side of the city, they talk like my side of the city, and they ain't hiding from nobody. They trying to beat your ass for the whole time you're in those hardwoods. Right. And so they just exuded that sort of lunch pail, in a way, blue collar attitude that Philadelphia likes to adopt. And so the other thing is that John Chaney was accessible. You know, he's doing, you know, access television and drinking beers down Fairmount in a local bar with reporters. Yeah. You know what I mean? The early aughts. And so, it's nothing like it. The immediacy, you know, how good he was to the press, you know, handing out Mike Jensen and guys like that, ties on press row and writing back to the local paper at LaSalle for the student newspaper. And so it's nothing like it, man. It's nothing like it. You told John Calipari he's going to whip his ass. It's nothing like it. And so, you know, I was writing a profile on Aaron McKee going in 2019, the fascination and the consistent trend that we see of these Division I colleges bringing back collegiate heroes to sort of, you know, invoke some sort of nostalgia trail, which will then in turn help with fundraising, recruiting, et cetera. You know, so you see Chris Mullin and you see Aaron McKee and you see Juwan Howard and other guys all across college basketball. And so bringing back, you know, hometown hero, I was like, you know, why not talk to him? And so, you know, Chaney was nice enough to give me like 30 minutes. And so you kind of knew, you know, Chaney had been sick for like the last almost 10 years. You talked to him on the phone. It's not going to be too long. So,
right.
No, it was dope. It was part of the job. So, you know, happy to do it.
That's great. I'm glad you got a chance to talk to him. Another person, sadly, who passed away recently is NFL reporter Therese Paylor. You tweeted that you had a connection to him, and I wanted to know, our listeners may know his name, but not necessarily know his work or what he was like as a person. What was your relationship like with him, and what would you like people to know about him?
You know, one thing I think folks should know is that, you know, there's a community of the Black sporting press that, you know, we don't get the same opportunities as everybody else in this world, especially in an industry, in a field specifically that is backwards in so many different ways. You know, is unable to kind of be, you know, accessed and entered by a lot of Black folks across the spectrum, and specifically Black queer folks and Black women. And so when I think of Therese, like, I didn't even know Therese until about 2019. And I just happened to be, you know, on a summer NFL camp tour. I was in Baltimore. I was on my way to Tampa before going to Miami. And Therese was just, you know, he saw me. You know, I was talking to my colleague, Kevin Clark. And he just pulled me to the side. And we just had a conversation in between reps while Lamar Jackson was slinging the ball across the field. And, you know, just very simple conversation that you have with a lot of the OGs in the field where, you know, I see you, keep doing what you're doing. If you need something, give me a call. You know, it's never bridge too far. It was never, you know, a gap too big. It was like, I'm here and I've been where you've been at. I love what you're doing. Whether you know me or not, you got a friend. And so there's plenty of folks like Charles McDonald and Cameron Wolf and a bunch of others, you know, Black folks who cover football specifically, who had a deeper connection. But the fact that somebody like that was just able to open themselves up for 5 seconds or 5 hours is just immense to me. So
yeah. That's amazing. You also put out a great piece this month called Help Wanted on The Ringer. And you're talking about the huge and seemingly growing disparity of white head coaches in the NFL to Black head coaches. And the league has, quote unquote, tried things like the Rooney Rule to appear that they're making an effort to fix this. Do you have a good fix in mind for this problem, or is it just something inherent that is unfixable? And also, as fans, is there anything that we can do to nudge this problem in the right direction? What do you think?
No, I don't work for the NFL. You know, I don't got no plan for y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't my job, ain't my business. My whole thing with it is you know, and paraphrasing, you know, James Baldwin had consistently kind of said that, you know, I'm a citizen, and as a citizen and as a writer, you know, it is my job to bear witness. And so I'm just saying what it is, man. Like, this is certainly my, I would say, my most transparent American truth. And the thing I see and the things that I interact with and my community does, as well as, you know, the sporting community at large. And so, you know, the NFL makes plenty of money and conducts plenty of studies where they fully diagnose what the issue is. I think the next step is really what you finna do. You know, if you're not finna penalize the owners, then we just gonna talk about this next year. There's no other conversation point. Like, there's no reformation plan. There's no, you know, 6-page PowerPoint. You know what I'm saying? Find the people in power, make it hard for them to move. If you can't, do something else. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very, very simple. If you ain't gonna hire Black folks, you ain't gonna get Black folks in your time of day, specifically Black folks. You know, yes, you know, we do need a variety of folks, you know, to be in these positions that aren't just white men and aren't just white people in general, but specifically Black folks who make up the labor force of the league, not have those opportunities is just massively striking. And to see them on a almost 5-year downswing would show that any innovation the league is doing, any futuristic technology they've added in, any thought processes that they posit they care about, don't actually matter when it comes to actionable items. Because if Roger Goodell is saying that this is important, if all the factions that base it is important, the Rooneys and the white people who run the league, if everybody say to John is important, but we keep seeing numbers dropping, then how important actually is it? All right.
Exactly.
So you did a podcast series for The Ringer called The Cam Chronicles. I binged it in a day. I thought it was a really interesting look at Cam Newton, someone I didn't know a ton about. Can you tell us more about that and how it came about, and if you're going to do more audio stories in the future?
You know, I think with a lot of things in this field, it's a combination of serendipity and hard work. I had already been sourced up in Charlotte in that locker room with the folk on the ground since I had, you know, reported on the 2016 killing of Keith Scott in Charlotte. We ended up writing a story for SB Nation called 96 Hours in Charlotte for the week that I had spent down there. And so coming into journalism as a 21, 22-year-old, I automatically had Charlotte, just like Baltimore, Sacramento, Philly, DC, as places that I already kind of had in my toolkit. And so, you know, we were thinking about doing something big on Cam Newton. We were certainly considering what would be important as far as this person who's probably going to get phased out of the Carolina Panthers. And it's going to be on the open market and is one of the most creative and unique talents the NFL has ever seen in the quarterback position. He's either going to find a new home or it's going to be a massive crossroads for what is a very legendary career. We went down there. We were doing some research. You know, there were some memos drawn up, and eventually the powers that be decided they wanted to see it as an audio project. I didn't care. So, you know, whatever the best way to tell a story is. And so we got to Charlotte by December. We was traveling until about March 1st, and we spent the rest of the time in post-production, you know, all the way up into the week of everything dropping. So definitely a tedious process, a hard process. We interviewed close to 100 folks. And so it was very interesting. It's very interesting going to church for Cam Newton. It's very interesting being around him for an extended period of time and his family and the people who have seen him progress and tick and make mistakes and grow. And, you know, it's just a very, very different process that I think most folks would be able to kind of go through. And so even though Cam didn't really want to like speak for the project, it was interesting to kind of be around him for a longer period of time and just see the things that he saw and do the things he did. So,
So I'd love to talk some Sixers. What are, in general, just right now, what are you thinking about the Sixers? Tough loss last night, but I think, you know, you're missing Tobias. Benji well played well. That's all I really care about. Do you think we're title contenders? What are you thinking?
Fuck all that. Who are we going to trade? Fuck all that. Who are we going to trade? Who are we going to get?
I want Lowry. We were just talking. I want Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
I'm with it. You know, I think some of the only ways you can make that trade work is Danny Green's out of here. Maxie's probably gone.
Yeah.
Mike Scott, Aaron Ferguson, or some combination that begins with Mike Scott and Danny Green, depending on the picks, depending on, you know, which one do you for cap situation, et cetera. I like it. I'm a big fan of it. I'm down for, you know, maybe 2 years of Kyle Lowry. I don't really want to give up Maxi. Maxi hasn't been playing good basketball for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm kind of cool with giving up on Maxi. It doesn't matter to me. I think the ultimate thing that you're looking for when you're building out any sort of club at any athletic level for a major sport is, can this team ascend to a championship level? What is that window for that level? How do we assess value based upon what we have? Let's not pretend that these businesses actually care about Black people. And because they don't, we don't have any loyalty in this game. People are being paid millions of dollars. Those businesses don't care about these people when it comes down to the medicine, to the actuality, the labor, the time spent, et cetera. And so let's just play chess then, all right? Mike Scott, love the guy. A lot of weird white people in Philly love Mike Scott. He can get traded because he's not really doing shit. Danny Green kind of sucks, so he can go. Totally fine with that. And Tyrese Maxey can't really do anything besides throw floaters in the air. And I love Tyrese Maxey, big fan. But he probably gonna have to fucking go too. And so, and Terrence Ferguson is just like kind of like a dog shit human, so he can go too. So
yeah,
I'm cool with almost all of that. I'm cool with almost all of that for 2 years of Kyle Lowry. We probably not going to be that good or as good next year. So you might as well cash out right now, just like you tried to do when Jimmy Butler was here. Why not?
Yeah, the Mike Scott thing's funny because I think like people love Mike Scott and like people still who like, I never got a chance to meet him. And I know a lot of the Sixers Twitter people did, and they all loved him. But like, I'm so over watching him play basketball in the Sixers. Like, I would be so thrilled to get Lowry, even if it means giving like any of those guys you just said. I'm with you. Like, I think
that's a good piece, though. Okay. I like Mike Scott. He plays hard. He hits a jumper when he feels like it. I'm not really mad at that. You know, I like Mike Scott a lot. You know, I think the odd fascination that a lot of like white people of a certain generation who were on the internet and like basketball seem to have with Mike Scott has always been fairly interesting to me. I think it's just because white people don't really know Black people. And because of that, like people like Mike Scott are like infinitely fascinating to like some white people. Like Mike Scott whipping people's asses in parking lots is like the Super Bowl for some white people in South Philly. I mean, like do what you want, man. Like whatever. But you know, outside of like him being a general bodyguard for the rest of the team, I'm super cool with getting rid of Mike Scott. Super cool to get rid of Mike Scott. And look, I think the other thing too is that like, I don't think we need a Kyle Lowry to win a championship. I think we need a piece. I don't know what that piece is. If it's Kyle Lowry, cool. Totally cool with that. If it's not, what's cheaper on the market? Would also love to know that too.
Yeah, there's a lot of good options out there. I agree with that. What do you think about kind of, we're Sixers, but we also just talk about whatever we want. What do you think about the Eagles?
Sixth pick.
Who are we taking?
Look, first of all, I'm so giddy that I'm just so happy that Carson Wentz doesn't play here anymore. I think, you know, speaking of weird white people on the internet, their biggest, like, you know, white whale is Carson Wentz. And so the fascination that white people in this city have with Carson Wentz being like the first almost good quarterback that's not been Black in this city like 25 years is super, man. Look, all I'm saying is y'all was lying through a lot of this shit, man. He was only kind of good one time and y'all been carrying this shit like forever. The motherfucker ain't ever won a playoff game. Everybody in the locker room fucking hates him. The coaches ain't fucking with him. How are you the starting quarterback of the team and you don't talk to your head coach for 9 weeks? Man, fuck out of here. This guy is a sucker, man. And so, look, you came in 2016, not the greatest team. Cool. You get a pass, you're a rookie, nobody cares. 2017, you lit the world on fire. You tore your leg in half playing hero ball. It sucked, but you didn't win us the Super Bowl. Nick Foles did. That's fine. Look, I would be kind of hurt, too, if I had to come to work every day and the dude who delivered me my bonus got a statue outside of my desk. I'd be real fucking mad about that, too. So I totally get that. 2018, you were just like fine. Like you were fine. And then you got a concussion. Okay. 2019, you were also kind of fine. And you also kind of got a concussion. Okay, cool. So here we are in 2020. You're healthy, allegedly. You're upset that like some Black kid who came from a college got drafted in the second fucking round. The fucking Packers drafted a kid in the first round and Aaron Rodgers had a great year. But Carson Wentz, busy reading his Bible and shooting deer meat in North Dakota, is very upset that a second rounder might give him a smidge of competition. All right, man, that's cool too. And then you like had the worst season on record in the last 7 years for a quarterback. Fuck Carson Wentz. Fuck what he wants. Fuck that he wants to go to Indianapolis. I like Marcus Brady though. He's a great dude. I don't get it. I don't get the fascination with Carson Wentz. I don't get the idea that he's going to somehow be like an MVP level caliber quarterback after being one of the worst quarterbacks we've ever seen play football. Thank you so much for the picks, Indianapolis. I really appreciate it. At number six, if you don't draft somebody who catches a football, you fucked up. You can't draft a quarterback. You can't, look, man, you can't draft a quarterback and then give them the same bad pieces and then say, oh, is this quarterback good or bad? It's stupid. You have a quarterback. He was kind of good. You know, when the pocket was clean, I think he threw 7.7 yards per average. When it wasn't clean, he was the best rookie in terms of getting outside of the pocket and making something happen. He played a lot of hero ball for bad pieces, which that certainly has to change. He's going to be a good quarterback. And some of the pieces were there. It's clear he's got poise. The locker room likes him. Maybe listen to the players for once instead of getting rid of people like Deuce Staley. Give me Ja'Marr Chase. That would be dope. If not, give me Kyle Pitts. That would also be dope. If not, give me Devonta Smith. That would also be dope. As long as they catch a football, that would be dope. All I'm asking for.
I don't know that I have faith that Howie can draft someone who can catch a football. He's shown that he's like not great at picking people who can catch footballs, but I agree that that would be great.
He's my
guy. That's all I want. So we're going to switch gears again and just give us some of, we saw you're watching The Bachelor.
I am.
Give us some Bachelor takes. We are big Bachelor fans here. We had Zach Clark, who was Tayshia on Tayshia's season, Tayshia's final rose. We had him on our show talking Philly sports. So we're big Bachelor people. So we just go ahead. Any of your Bachelor takes?
I mean, Matt Romney sucks. Like, I think that's the question, you know? I don't know, man. Like, the show kind of fucking sucks all the way around. It's my first season watching it. I'm only watching it because he's black. Otherwise, I would like leave this white nonsense for white people. But I'm very disappointed. You know? I mean, Matt sucks. I don't really know the better way to say it. Matt just really fucking sucks. Chris Harrison, who I thought was like a jolly white man who just really enjoyed like his porn novels, apparently also kind of fucking sucks. So now that's a huge letdown. Was really hoping one day me and Chris Harrison could like bang out some beers or something. So that fucking sucks. And
yeah, that reminds me, we should take him off our Twitter header.
Oh, I didn't know he's on. I forgot.
Wow. He's on it. Take him off before.
I fucking up too. Man, I guess it's fuck Chris Harrison too. I mean, no black women who look like black women are actually on the show. Racist Rachel's probably going to win, which is definitely an affront to like one of the blackest casts we've seen on the show in a long time, especially when it comes to black women. I feel bad for like all those like regular black women who came to this show and thought this dude was like not a Republican. Like, feel really bad for getting deep into that. Yeah, the show kind of just really sucks, man. Me and my boys just watch it and hate watch it like I do everything else. So it's a shame. Really.
So that's your pick then for the final rose is going to be Rachel?
Yeah, racist Rachel from Georgia is definitely going to win The Bachelor. I cannot see a reason why she wouldn't.
So I have a question. Let's say that you were The Bachelor with this season's women. Who would you be most interested in?
Queen Maggie.
Oh, Maggie. Yeah. She got no screen time. They gave her no screen time.
She seemed cool. I don't know why they didn't show her.
Cool as hell.
Because you showed Rachel instead.
Yeah.
She had a great job. She seemed very regular. Like, man, look, man. Come on, man. Queen Maggie. I was rooting for her the whole fucking time. She didn't bother nobody. She ain't start no shit. She thought everybody was fucking crazy, including Matt. She was the only one who had her head on straight. Yeah. Got vacation from work, and now she's, you know, back doing what she does.
Wow. Maybe she'll be on Bachelor in Paradise, and maybe you can apply and make it happen. Who knows?
Probably won't happen. You know, white television does not seem like something I'm really a big fan of. So I can't foresee myself doing that.
Tyler, is there anything else that you would like to promote other than your work at The Ringer, your where people can find you, anything else that you'd like to get out there?
Hell no. Oh, no, man. It's a pandemic. Wear your fucking mask.
Wear your mask.
Wear your fucking mask. I'm trying to get out the house. I'm trying to, like, take more walks and shit. Wear your fucking mask. That's it. If you see Brett Brown, please do not let him back within the city limits. You see Doug Peterson, tell him I said I'm sorry. I ain't mean all that. If you see Howie Roseman, you know, ask him if he still know how to fight.
I don't know if still applies. I don't know that Howie Roseman was ever much of a fighter.
Everybody like at one time in their life probably thought they knew how to fight at least once. Whether that was really true or not.
Yeah.
I was small growing up, so I didn't grow until like late in high school. I was always trying to not get in fights. So,
hey man, your height don't mean shit.
I was also like 100 pounds.
I don't mean nothing. Do you got hands, big fella?
That's
it. You got hands, big fella? That's it. Don't matter what you look like. If you got hands, that language is universal.
Tyler, we really appreciate you coming on. We love your work. People can follow you on social media. What's your Twitter account?
Tyler V. Tons.
Great. Follow you there. Love what you're doing and really, really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. The Sixers win a championship. Y'all going to see me on Broad and Thompson in a Dickie suit and some butters. You know what I mean? With a silky on. Yeah, I mean, don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. I'm going to be extolling the good virtues of Norfolk. That's all you got to know. Appreciate you.
Cool. We'll see you there. Thank you again.
Thanks, Tyler.
Yeah.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its $1 billion real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.